the Art of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where Allie's looking at me already for some reason, like I did something wrong.
Because you said something before the show and then winked at me, and it made me really concerned about what plans you have.
That makes me sound dirty, like in ways I'm not used to being dirty. Hey, what's up, guys? Shannon Young back with you finally after a couple days off, and here's why. I'm sick. I'm still sick. We don't know if it's bronchitis. It could be pneumonia. There's definitely something wrong with me.
But he won't go to a doctor.
Well, what does a quack know? What can a quack do that bed rest and Call of Duty can't do for me? And I don't actually get the bed rest because I have to go to work.
Medicine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm taking, I take some vitamins in the morning.
Just because it says like taurine and chlorine or whatever on the monster cans doesn't mean it's vitamins.
I don't think chlorine's on there, but I don't know for sure. I don't know enough about monsters to be sure. That voice you hear at the end of the table, that's my partner. That's Asa Gray. He's a 5-star man.
I am here.
And then of course, Allie, not actually a bear, but very concerning of what I'm thinking.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We didn't do a show on Thursday because of the sickness. Because not only am I sick, but Mandy was sick and Lindsay was sick.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on Nerd Up, because if you heard, not this past Nerd Up, but the week before with Mandy's voice was totally out. And then, because you're like, oh, well, you know, we'll do the Thursday show even if I'm not on it, because we're going to start Pokemon Month.
Yeah.
And they don't really need me there, so that can be like Jesse, Mandy, and Lindsay. That's all. That's right up their wheelhouse.
Right.
But then Lindsay and Mandy also got sick.
Yeah, the idea was that I wasn't going to do Thursday, and that wouldn't matter because of that reason. But mm-hmm. then Lindsay sounded terrible on Thursday. She sounded awful. And when I talked to Mandy, Mandy was still ready to go. She was still ready to do a show, but she had also been like throwing up and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's not.
Yeah, because she got worse.
Yeah. Let's just stay home. And I thought I was over the sickness, but then sometime over the weekend, I started coughing. I didn't cough at first when I was sick. I started coughing after the sickness, and I just kept coughing, and I'm still coughing. Like, I can't breathe in normally, because if I can breathe in shallow breaths, but once I get to the normal breath, I start wheezing, and then it tickles my throat, and then I start coughing. And, like, some of the coughing has been to the point of almost uncontrollable. Like, Sunday, I think it was, I felt like I was going to pass out because I coughed so much, just in a row. So if I cough here on the show tonight, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm trying not to, but the more I talk, the more I feel it.
We'll just do better.
I'm trying.
Have you just not coughed?
Well, this virus has stomped my ass.
I hear that's going around.
I had the most interesting day today here at the store. And by interesting, I mean just I don't want to steal Cody's line about shotguns, so I'm not going to, but, it was a miserable day. Let's just say that.
Every time checking the group chat and just seeing what new riffraff
came in,
wanders into the store.
And I love my customers here at Gaming Grounds at 709 Broadway in Cape Girardeau. I love you guys to death. If you're a customer and you're listening, I really do. But sometimes some random person from Broadway comes in and it's just the most interesting experience. And by interesting, I mean awful. Just awful. Just awful. I got threatened by an old woman today. I had to shut her down. I'm assuming what is probably a meth addict came in and challenged me or someone that looked like me or something to a game of Madden for a job. What else happened? A guy sticks his head in the store smoking a cigarette, asking if we have games. And I know that, like, I know people out there are going, like, maybe you didn't know what your store was. You would have had to been there to see the way you did it and just the way it went. Like, I can't do it justice the way that these guys came in.
Also, it's worth noting, if you haven't been here, it's Gaming Grounds. The video game center.
With wall-to-wall video games. Yeah. Yes. My favorite was the guy that...
And the video game center is what... I say that, it's plastered across the glass.
Yeah.
Like, you can't walk up to the store and not see something video game related.
On the door itself, there are many posters of video games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was a guy that came, I gave him change. It was $20. It was $16. He gave me a 20, and I gave him four back, and he said... Nah, sorry. 20 minus 5, what was it? 25, 20 minus 5 is 16, bud. And I stared at him, and I was like, it's not. Like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to sound so bitter, but Jesus Christ, today was the worst. So I did something terrible. I did something regrettable to make myself feel better, and that's I got an Xbox One X.
Dumb. So dumb.
Not entirely, because the frame rate, there's like three extra frames on Call of Duty.
Well, and you also, you say you got one. You didn't go out and
buy one. Yeah. Lonnie got one, and the more I stared at it, because I was here, Double H and Jesse, and we're all staring at it, and I'm like, and then Jesse whips out his knife and is like, just open it. And I take the knife. Jesse almost took the knife away from me because I accidentally cut my throat a little bit because I was playing around with it and I put it like, I just kind of did this with it. I'm like kind of banging it against my neck a little bit. I didn't realize how sharp it was. And then I felt the slash and I was like, oh God. And Jesse was like, yeah, it's really sharp. So then I started
It's a knife.
I know, but then I started messing with him and I started like swinging it around my face and throat. It made him real nervous.
That's a hilarious bit.
Yeah. Well, you had to be there. It's just a thing. But I opened it up and even though I know it's regrettable, I still like it. Also, I want to do something real quick. If you guys are listening, I want you to hear this. This is what it sounds like when I breathe. One more time in case you didn't hear it.
So no one used the red mic anymore.
It's just mine. Only these viruses are only for me. Asa, you said you wanted to talk about what we've been doing lately, and I think that's a good idea. What have we been up to lately? Let's start with Allie.
School and work.
Where are those things?
Don't answer that.
Names and locations.
You got a camera.
I do have a camera.
So one of the classes that you're taking in college is you're taking photography.
It's a digital art class for photo video, and I've just mostly stuck with the photos.
And you've kind of fallen in love with taking pictures.
Yeah, I like it.
And you took a series of pictures recently with myself and Mr. Brandon Barbwire.
Yes.
Billy Hills and Sarah.
Yes.
Who else? JR.
JR.
And a couple classmates. A
couple classmates and a coworker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
I mean, it was an identity project. So what I did was I had people find a word or phrase that described themselves. I put that on a bag and then I had them wear the bag like a mask, and I took pictures of them like in a very stereotypical portrait style to kind of look at portrait and identity in a different way than what photography is used to.
And what did you say when I had the bag on my head? You've never looked better.
I did not say that. I'm pretty sure you said that.
Words that Allie Hebert used about me.
It seems like that sounds like something someone at this table would say.
Also, I want to mention that tomorrow is Jesse Kimball's birthday.
Yes.
And Calvin's.
And Calvin. Both members of the show. Remember last year for Jesse's birthday?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Block that off. Block that out.
Good.
Also, words.
So, here's what I've been doing lately. I did buy Call of Duty, World War II, and it is so much fun. It's my favorite Call of Duty since Black Ops. I mean that. Like, I've put more time into this already than I ever put into Infinite Warfare, especially Infinite Warfare.
Yeah, that one was...
That one was regrettable. It wasn't terrible, but it was regrettable.
Well, the problem with it was, like, because the maps were fine, I liked it, because it continued the, like, Black Ops 3 thing, and I guess Advanced Warfare, with, like, the jetpacks and wall running and stuff. So it continued with that. The problem with Infinite Warfare is it's, oh, cool, I got this gun, I'm going to try it out. Okay, I like it, okay. Except for the fact that I'm now being killed by someone with the same gun, except it has no reload and piercing bullets and it's twice the rate of fire because they got it out of a loot box.
It was like World of Warcraft, kind of, where it's like, I'm better than you, but your stats are higher.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
And the problem was, I'm not better than anyone at Call of Duty. I need any little bit of like...
So you needed that gun.
I need as even of a playing field as possible.
Yeah.
And even if I had... Which I never got a better... Like a much better gun like that. Like I think I got one out of a box that was marginally better, but it wasn't anything noticeable. I was not good enough to really take advantage of it.
This one's a lot better because there are loot boxes and you can get like epic guns and heroic guns, but they're just aesthetics.
Yep.
Like they look better and they do give you a bonus experience, but that's it. It doesn't affect the gameplay, which is awesome. Plus there's no jetpacks. And I like that too, but I also got tired of people like running on walls. I got tired of people flying above me. I got tired of kill streaks that were like insane. Mm-hmm. This one's it's World War II, so it's much more grounded in reality. Mm-hmm. And I can't describe to you just the sheer joy when you're playing war mode and they put you on, as best I can describe it, I think it's legitimately like the beaches of Normandy. as the boats are pulling up and they're charging towards the bunkers, and if you're the Germans and you're in the bunker just shooting all of these soldiers rushing at you, that's when I went 25-0. Mm-hmm. And that was the best feeling in the world. When it was done, I put my controller down. My hands were sweating. I was like, oh, my God, that was incredible. I haven't felt an experience like that in Call of Duty in forever. So I'm giving this one my seal of approval for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Jesse has it already. I'm picking it up on Payday.
But he hasn't even played it yet, and that upsets me. Because like I'm almost level 40 already.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And well, I guess because on Sunday, Lindsay did say that like that's all you were doing.
Yeah, me and Bob played Call of Duty like all day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was so much fun. Even Bob's into it. And Bob gave up on Call of Duty after Black Ops 2. Like, he hated Infinite Warfare. He hated Advanced Warfare because it was so sci-fi.
Well, and Black Ops 3 is literally the only Call of Duty. It's the first and, at this point, only Call of Duty I put a significant amount of time in. Like, yeah. I had Infinite Warfare. But yeah, it was that thing where you stopped playing, Jesse did. I don't think Jesse even bought it. So I don't think Jesse even had it. And like, you guys are the two people that I will play
shooters
with.
Yeah.
Cause we can convince Dalton to get it usually. Cause he had Black Ops. And he will say that he was the worst person to ever play that game. He got serviceable. Like, yeah. He didn't get great. But he got to the point where he was actually like contributing to the team and doing well for himself, especially considering like when he first started playing.
Right.
And I did too. Like Black Ops 3, I had a couple platinum guns.
I remember watching you play. You did way better than I did.
I got better.
Yeah.
I got a lot better with it. And it was but like I said, that was also the first Call of Duty I put any sort of time into. I always hated Call of Duty games. And it was just because you and Jesse and, maybe it was Steven. And a couple other people were always at the store playing, and I was just like, okay, I want to play with my friends, so I guess I'll get this. And I ended up really, really liking it. And then Infinite Warfare was hot garbage.
I liked Advanced Warfare up to the point that I played with Steven. Mm-hmm. Like, that's – I have told that story before. Steven broke me on that game because it was at Christmas time, and, like, me, him, and Jesse, and were you here with us playing that?
I wasn't playing it, but I might have been here.
I just remember playing it, and Steven upset me so much that I never wanted to play it again. I was like, I can't. Like, I get raging at a game. I get mad at games. But I try to make it fun.
Oh,
when
yeah,
I'm
no.
mad. I'm so over-the-top angry when I'm angry.
That's me playing Cuphead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just.
I was watching you play Cuphead on Sunday.
Like, 60% of it is a show.
And what was really funny.
No, that's not true. About 40% of it is a show.
What was really funny to me was like Dalton telling me to stop cursing because there was a kid in here. It was James. And, you just listening to you go like, ah, damn it, shit, damn it. You just over and over again because that game is so infuriating. Cause
that's all it is. That's just the damn it simulator.
It's a troll simulator.
God, it's so, I hate it. I love it.
So that's what I've been playing, a lot of Call of Duty, which is bad because I just bought Destiny 2 on PC. I got to like level 13 and then I immediately switched over to Call of Duty. Oh, there's the fly.
Yeah,
I hate that son of a bitch.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast, like he had a feud with flies for a couple shows, which was super funny because it's Steve Austin. But it's like, oh no, we're not biting his bit. It's just there's been consistently at least one the last like 2 weeks.
Super aggressive.
I think they're just generations.
Yeah.
Like this is the Hatfield McCoy feud. we killed one of them. And now they're just generation after generation.
You want to know
for revenge.
How big of a bitch I've turned into. One of them landed on the counter here in the middle, the island in the middle of the store. And I saw him. And I'm so pissed off at this point because he constantly, like, I'm trying to play Call of Duty, and he keeps landing on my hands.
Oh, you can't have that.
And that's the worst feeling in the world, and I keep, like, and then I'll die, and I'll blame the fly because he landed on my hands. So I see him on there, and I'm like, I'm going to destroy you, but I don't like killing things. So I grab the glass cleaner and spray him with it. And then he's laying in it. He's
chemical warfare.
He's trying to crawl around in it. And I'm like, got you, little son of a bitch. And then I grab a napkin and I scoop him up and throw him in the trash. I'm like, suffer. 2 minutes later, I start feeling guilty. And I was like, ugh. So I take it out of the thing and I set him down on the can.
Trying to give a little fly CPR.
I was like, please be alive. And he started moving around. I'm like, okay, you're free to go. I felt guilty about killing the fly. That's what a bitch I am now.
That's the opposite. We have always had, no matter where we've lived, however many times we've moved, there have always been wasps at my parents' house. Wasps and bees. My mom is deathly afraid of them. Therefore, I am deathly afraid of them. But not to the point of my mom, who, with the, you know, Raid, the wasp killer stuff, it doesn't take a lot. like one little spritz and they're done. It might take a minute or two, but that's all it takes. They don't die from the poison when my mom sprays them. They drown. And there have been times like we're sitting there. I distinctly remember
that
being.
It can't be healthy for her.
I mean, it may not be, but she doesn't care because she just wants them to suffer.
Right.
And so there was one time we're sitting out on the deck. My stepdad is grilling and we hear that zzz sound. And my mom just fastest draw in the West.
She has a holster. She pulls it out of the
holster.
She
might as well. Takes it and just does this like spraying left to right arc across the deck onto the grill, onto my stepdad, onto me.
Jeez.
Just she's, oh no, it's scorched earth with her. Like I'm genuinely.
So she like napalmed it like Vietnam War style.
Yes. Like I'm surprised we didn't have to move, like we didn't just move when we saw one. And they, but they all always got into the house too, which sucked because, you know, we've always had pets and.
Right.
And wasps are just dicks.
They're nature's assholes.
They really are. Like them and hornets, which thankfully, like, it hasn't really been hornets as much. It's just wasps.
I haven't seen a hornet in a long, long time.
Well, you're lucky.
I remember.
We were down in, when we were doing, the Chaffee show, for CCW.
The one out on the baseball diamond?
Yeah, on the baseball diamond. Cleaning out the dugout because the dugout was filthy. Like, just garbage everywhere. So we were cleaning that out, but the trash can that we were going to use was just overflowing with bees and hornets.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so we had to get someone in, like me and Lee are standing there. We're just like, we're both allergic. I don't want to die in Chaffee.
Yeah, or live.
Like
there.
you always get the feeling that you might, but like, I don't want to.
Yeah, my dad,
especially not from you.
When I was younger, I was smart, and I hit a hornet's nest with like a tennis racket or something because I was stupid. Did you do something similar?
No, you started that story with I was smart.
No, that wasn't smart at all. I reconsidered that. I think I told the story on the show before about there was a time when Lindsay, my mom got us these really nice robes for Christmas. And one said Lindsay on it, one said Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
I loved them. They were so nice. And my mom was incredible, of course. I've said that on the show before. And Lindsay, she always put it on after she'd take a shower. So I'm in the living room, I'm doing something, and then I just hear her scream because there was a wasp in the shoulder of the robe when she put it on, and it stung her on the shoulder as soon as she put it on. And I was like, come on, it's just a sting. It's not that bad. You know, don't cry. Days later, I was walking through the kitchen barefoot, and I stepped on one, and it stung the bottom of my foot. And even though I'm a pacifist and I don't like to kill anything, I grabbed the nearest object and smashed the wasp to the point that it was in pieces because I was so pissed off.
Smashed it to pieces?
I don't like it when things attack me. I have only so far you can push me.
I referenced It's Always Sunny, and now I made myself sad.
Why?
Because it's leaving Netflix.
Is it really?
Like December 8th.
Where's it going?
Hulu. Because everything's going to Hulu.
We have Hulu. So.
Yeah, Hulu.
Look at Hulu Rockefeller over here. Streaming services Magoo.
I really have so many of them. Yeah, between me and Bob, we have quite a few.
I think I'm going to cancel my network. I never use it. I bought it because
WWE?
Yeah, I bought it too. Well, I bought it because I wanted to watch the like the Mae Young Classic. And I don't think I ever actually finished it.
I have never used it other than here at the store for pay-per-views.
And then I watch like NXT. And then every once in a while I'll try to catch NXT. But yeah, I just.
And that's really sad because like I love wrestling.
So much stuff that's.
You would think we would watch it like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't.
Well, and there's so much stuff that's on there. But also, you know, PW's tomorrow. But there is a minimum of 5 hours a week that we talk about. And that's just WWE.
That's not even New Japan.
I take that. I misspoke. There, depending on what we talk about, there are 7 hours a week because NXT and 205 Live, and those are only on weeks that there aren't pay-per-views.
Right.
And that's not factoring in, like, we're going to talk a lot about TNA tomorrow. We're going to talk a lot about New Japan tomorrow.
Yep.
Like, there's a bunch of stuff. Just there's so much wrestling. And they do so like such cool stuff with non-wrestling content on the network.
Yeah, a lot of great shows.
That I watch. Like, I love Table for Three. I love Ride Along. Like, that stuff's fun. Like, it might be more on the scripted side as well.
Hated Camp WWE.
That was just bad.
Remember that, Allie?
Yeah.
We watched one episode of that, and it was absolutely terrible.
I'll tell you what's
not a terrible series. Talking about things that I've been doing lately, mm-hmm. Can I just talk about my love for Tales from the Crypt? I've rediscovered that show, and like, at first, I started watching episodes here and there for Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to show some in here, but even I was just kind of like, this is kind of a weird show. I don't think it's winning anybody over. But the more I watched it, the more I got hooked on it, and now it's like I watch it nonstop all day. I love Tales from the Crypt like no other.
Weren't they doing, or did they already do it, like a reboot?
Canceled.
Really?
M. Night Shyamalan was rebooting Tales from the Crypt for TNT. Canceled because they couldn't get the rights to something.
Wow.
Yeah, because I started looking into it when I started watching it again. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on with the reboot. And to be fair, that was a terrible idea from the beginning. One, because M. Night Shyamalan's behind it. And I'm not jumping on the train if he's terrible. I don't think he's terrible. Mm-hmm. I really like Signs. There's been a couple of movies of his that I liked.
Oh, no, it's Unbreakable. And then Signs was good. I feel like there's another one that I'm missing. And I'm not talking about Sixth Sense.
Devil.
Never saw it.
The one they're in the elevator? Oh, yeah. I thought that was good.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
I never saw that one. But then for every one of those, there is...
The Village.
And Lady in the Water. And my favorite...
No, yeah, Asa.
No.
Asa.
Shannon, this is happening.
Ugh,
get it? Because it's The Happening.
He did it.
Worst movie made.
He did it.
Don't at me. worst movie at theaters.
Yeah,
I know it's not the worst movie ever
fair,
made, but it.
The Village almost hits the worst movie I've seen in theaters, except I watched Fear.com in theaters.
I did not,
and that was the worst movie I've ever seen in theaters.
The Happening is still worse than Jigsaw
or Nutty Professor 2. Oh, I hate that movie.
I was looking at me confused. I saw Jigsaw. It was terrible.
Oh, okay, yeah. I knew you saw it. I just didn't hear your opinion of
it. So I'm gonna get back to Tales from the Crypt in a second, but I just have to ask. So Jigsaw, mm-hmm. Spoiler alert for anybody listening, if you plan on watching Jigsaw, there's a part in the trailer where they say it's the Jigsaw killer, and then they goes, he's been dead for years. It's not, right? Again, spoiler. If you're gonna watch Jigsaw,
yeah,
skip ahead.
Skip ahead the next minute and a half.
because I need to know. It's not Jigsaw.
It is the Jigsaw killer, but they do the thing that they've done in like every Saw movie since the third one, or since the second one, where it's different points in time. So the game that you're seeing in the trailers happened 10 years ago. It's actually Jigsaw's first game.
Really?
Or like one of his first games. And then the bodies that are showing up now, current day, are from a brand new, never before heard of apprentice. And if you saw the last Saw movie that they made, no, don't worry about it. We're not going to mention the fact that Princess Bride...
Carrie Elwes?
Yeah.
Oh, Carrie Elwes?
Yeah.
Was he back in the last one?
Yep. He was revealed as like the last secret apprentice of Jigsaw, even though he was the victim in the first movie. It was garbage. It was bad. Like, there is a couple people in the movie that I liked. It wasn't particularly well acted, but the guy from The Glades, which is a show I'm the only person who's seen it. It was an A&E procedural crime drama about a guy who didn't like to wear suits and accidentally shot his old sergeant in the butt. So he sent him to this like terrible precinct down in the Everglades.
Well, gadzooks.
I like – he's funny. He's charming. I like him, especially in that show. The Glades is fun. He's in it. He does a good job. I don't know. It's just – I was super disappointed in it.
Is Tobin Bell in it again?
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I really like him.
Yeah, no, he's great in it, and he's great as that character, and that voice is so good.
And the Jigsaw, was it Billy's his name, right?
Billy the Puppet.
Like, I always thought that was legitimately creepy, too.
Yeah.
But I've never been a fan of the Saw movie. I've never seen them, so I can't say that they're bad.
Honestly, like, we talked about this, I think, on Nerd Up, maybe when I gave my review, but it's... The first one is a legitimately good movie.
Low budget, which works in its favor.
Yeah, and it had insane twist ending that like no one saw coming, and the first Saw movie was a legitimately good horror movie, I thought. I enjoyed the second movie quite a bit. I also very much enjoyed the twist at the end of it. It's like, oh, that's actually kind of nuts. Cool. And the traps got kind of more and more elaborate and messed up. Like, there's a pit of needles that still makes me oogie. And then that's where it really started to go downhill. I still enjoyed what they did with 3 and 4, and to a lesser extent 5, but by that point it had pretty much turned exclusively into torture porn.
Right.
And the whole identity of Jigsaw thing kind of got muddled, and his whole crusade got worse and worse.
That was derivative.
Because the people who were doing it weren't doing it correctly, and even some of that shows up in Jigsaw, and just, eh. So yeah, it's as a franchise, I would be fine if Jigsaw was the last movie, but I'm not.
They're gonna keep cranking.
Oh yeah,
them out.
No,
yeah.
I'm not mad that they made it, but I was very disappointed in it.
Psych, the movie comes out in a month.
That's why I still have PlayStation View.
Is that going to be
USA?
Okay,
USA.
I didn't know if they were doing like a theatrical release.
No, it's just USA.
Which is good, because I mean, I don't think a theatrical release is necessary. No. Like, you can put it on USA. As opposed, let's bring this full circle back to Tales from the Crypt. Because when they said that Tales from the Crypt was coming to TNT, like, have you ever, I know, Allie, have you seen it because I've made you watch a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But even the episodes we've watched have been relatively tame. As opposed to the episode I watched today that had Steve Buscemi in it, which was awesome, by the way. And where not only was there just, like, tons of nudity from Lissette Anthony, but, like, his eyeball fell out, his skin rotted off of him. I mean, it was, like, legitimately, like, gory and nudity. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do that on TNT. You can't do that on network television. You just can't. Like, it would have been a watered-down Tales from the Crypt from M. Night Shyamalan, and nothing about that sounds good. Because the original Tales from the Crypt was just, it was HBO.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on the...
It was horror anthology what Mr. Show was to, like, sketch comedy. Like, it was that... But it was up to 11 because they didn't have any rules.
Right. Well, and honestly, you have to look at where TV standards are now. Because, like, late 90s / early 2000s, I would agree with you. But now, like, look at what is on network television.
Well, it's true. But
violence-wise. Yeah. Like,
you still couldn't push it to the levels of Tales from the Crypt. Especially the nudity and the language, obviously.
I would say the nudity would be the part that probably would change if it was on TNT.
Yeah, because it's... Yeah, you can show someone having their intestines eaten. That's fine. No problem. Yeah. Oh, but you need to cover up the boob a little.
Yeah. It's offensive.
Because America's stupid.
It's offensive. Anyway, if you've never watched Tales from the Crypt, I don't want to spend all my time harping on it because I have really become a little obsessed with it. Go out of your way to see it. All of it's on YouTube. You can literally look up Tales from the Crypt. The entire series is on YouTube for free. The quality's good. It's not great. You can also buy the box set. It's like $80. If you're thinking about getting me a Christmas gift, that's what I want, is the Tales from the Crypt box set. The Crypt Keeper used to scare the hell out of me as a kid. I could not watch the Impetro when he would pop out of the casket. Now when I watch it, I get such a glee from seeing him. Because it's a puppet, which is awesome. And every bit of the puppet has little, like motors and animatronics in it. So like every part of his face can move and stuff. And they have puppeteers doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, once you like pull the curtain back and look at it, it's an incredible process. And he's hilarious.
Well, we talked about it before because you're like, man, as a kid, I was so terrified of this thing. And now looking back and like rewatching these, I'm like, how could
he's
I possibly
so
have been
corny.
Afraid of this?
He's corny.
But I think but at the same time, like early Tales from the Crypt, he wasn't shticky at all.
No,
he was meant to be like a horror icon.
He had a much darker humor. Like he still cracked jokes, but they were really subtle.
Right.
As opposed to the like, hello, boils and ghouls.
Yeah. But then as he went on, he kind of like, it went Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Where he got funnier but it also became more endearing, I think. Like, mm-hmm. It became part of the charm of the show.
Yeah.
Because the wraparound, like the beginning segment where he cracks his jokes and then the end where he kind of wraps up the story.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorite parts.
Yeah.
Because he's so, and John Cassier that did the voice of the Crypt Keeper, who also did the voice of Deadpool in the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, which is kind of
really?
Neat. Yeah.
That's cool.
The dude's got a great voice. Like it's iconic. It's really iconic. And I think the reason I started watching it again was because I watched the Demon Knight movie. Which is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. It's Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
And I found an interesting trivia. I'm just going to throw this out there. Apparently, From Dusk Till Dawn and The Frighteners are both Tales from the Crypt movies that they couldn't get an agreement on using the Tales from the Crypt license for.
Really?
So whenever you watch From Dusk Till Dawn or The Frighteners, just remember that those were Tales from the Crypt movies originally.
Hmm.
And it's believable, like hearing that.
I remember seeing the first time I saw From Dusk Till Dawn, didn't have any idea what it was. It just was on, I want to say it was like Spike TV or something.
Did you watch it from the beginning where it was basically drama?
Yeah, where it was like because the beginning of that movie is just like, oh, these bank robbers are running from the cops and end up taking a family hostage. And it's just like, okay, that's an interesting, like, I can't remember who all's in it.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
George Clooney.
George Clooney, that's what it was. Because I was like, man, I don't remember George Clooney doing like a movie like this, but you know, I'll check it out. And I watched it was like really, really good. And then a quarter of the way through, the hard left turn happens.
Right.
And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I had no, like, I genuinely had no idea what I was walking into. And I love that.
It's one of my favorite things that if you don't know anything about that movie, it will just like super surprise you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, there was another movie I just had in my head that just takes a hard candy. Kind of does that too.
Oh yeah.
Takes a hard left turn.
Is that the one you were talking about with, Jason Sudeikis?
No, that was Colossal. That
Colossal.
Also has a hard left turn.
Yeah.
But Hard Candy's the one with, what's her name? She was in Juno.
Ellen Page.
It's Ellen Page, and I don't remember his name either. It's Patrick something. It's the guy that was in...
Page?
It is Ellen Page. And it's the guy that was in Phantom of the Opera, and also he was the Night Owl in Watchmen, and he was in Insidious.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I don't remember his name. It's Patrick something. but she comes over to his house, and you can tell there's something weird about him. And it turns out that she's trying to find the man that like raped and killed her friend, because he like preys on underage girls. But you don't realize that at first. It's like a hard left turn just out of nowhere. Yeah. And they're looking this up now. Allie is confirming that it's Ellen Page.
It is. It just...
Of course it is. Don't doubt me.
Is she...
I was the one that said it.
But she had that look that like...
I just didn't believe it
Patrick
for a
Wilson.
Second.
Patrick
yeah.
Wilson.
Yeah.
I love that guy,
too. That's what I was looking
too.
For. Because...
Oh, that's another one of my favorite things about Tales from the Crypt, by the way. I just want to mention this. Is seeing all the people in it that would eventually become huge. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I always talk about Mr. Show for comedians, because it had Jack Black, Sarah Silverman, all these people that like are Dino
Starburns. Just call him Starburns.
Yeah. This is the same thing. Tom Hanks is in an episode. Arnold Schwarzenegger did his first directing with Tales from the Crypt. Steve Buscemi is in it. Sam Waterston. Like, there's so many great actors in it. And Kirk Douglas. I mean, it's such a good anthology show. I forgot how good it was. And I just hope that there's an appreciation for it in today's age. Because whenever I show, like, Allie episodes, I always worry, does she like this? Or is she just indulging me?
Well, and so, like... But you do run into the problem where some of it doesn't age.
Well as others.
Some of it ages really, really well, but then there is other stuff that doesn't age particularly well. Like me trying to go back and watch Buffy and the X-Files.
Right.
I couldn't do it. Like, it's just, this is too 90s.
X-Files I can kind of get away with to a point. Buffy is very hard to watch.
But it sucks because I don't have that, like, nostalgia to go back to it and be like, oh no, yeah, but I loved this as a kid. Yeah. I never saw it as a kid.
Right.
Or, like, when I was younger.
You're watching it. Well, that's what I mean with her and, like, Tales from the Crypt. Because I can watch these episodes, and some of them I remember, some I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them I watched on, KBSI 23 at, like, midnight, so they were all edited. So there's stuff that I don't remember, like, holy shit, that's way over the top. It's not Thursday.
No, I do remember watching some when I was younger, but it was, like, cable.
Right.
So, like, I don't think I ever saw an unedited Tales of the Crypt until probably college. But I always thought it was neat. I thought it was a neat idea.
Yeah. And they had a follow-up series that I never watched called Perversions of Science. Because all of the shows were based, literally taken from the comic books. Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror, and Suspense Stories.
Did we tell you that we saw the original?
Jesse did, yeah.
Yeah, at Indiana Comic Con.
But it was very expensive.
It was super expensive, otherwise you would have had that.
I need to go and watch that Perversions of Science. Same thing, but sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Could be very, very cool. Because I was always a big fan of Twilight Zone, Outer Limits.
Twilight Zone is my thing. That was something that, that was our, when Sci-Fi Channel... Which I feel like it's been more recently than I'm gonna say, but I want to say like early college, late high school, they would do a New Year's marathon.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah, I used to watch those.
They would from episode one all the way through. I think they even sometimes they threw in the movie.
Mm.
And me and my stepdad would watch that all the time. Like, I mean, my mom would watch too, but like that was one of the things that like me and my stepdad both enjoyed. And this was at a time where there weren't a whole lot of things that we both could watch. Actively enjoyed.
Right.
Like, we would watch stuff that the other wanted to watch, and, that's fine. Like, I'll watch it. But this was something that we could both, like, look forward to.
It's hard. Do you find it hard to watch the Twilight Zone movie knowing what happened?
What happened?
Do you seriously not know?
I don't remember. No.
God, this is going to sound terrible.
Like, and maybe I do, and I'm forgetting it, but...
So there's a part, I think his name is Vic Morrow is the actor's name, but he's the racist in the bar when they're like, he gets transported back to, like, Germany.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I know what you're talking about.
The end part is him leading two kids through the water as a helicopter crashes. And in real life, the helicopter crashed and killed all three of them, decapitated him, and killed the two children.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it killed all three of them.
And they put it in the movie?
They cut that part out.
Okay. Because it's been a very long time since I've seen the Twilight Zone movie, too.
There apparently is footage of it, but it was destroyed. John Landis was the director of the segment, and he destroyed all footage of it. But he went to court. Like, they got sued over it by the families and stuff. Yeah, it was just an accident. But yeah, it killed the two kids and the actor.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. And that's why when I watched that part, like, they kind of cut it off early.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that's not the ending that they were going for, but they had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird watching it knowing happened.
I can see that.
That's like watching, we talked about like watching a Benoit match.
Yeah.
And knowing what happened with him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's.
So yeah, not to bring the mood down. Sorry.
Well, I've been playing Cuphead.
Tell us about Cuphead.
Speaking of dying, that was bad. I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about that at all. I want
to
apologize.
Welcome to my world. Every joke I tell.
Like, I genuinely feel gross about that.
Yeah. Everybody gets one. You've been due for one.
I don't want one. I want to return it. No, I don't even want to talk about Cuphead now.
It looks so good, though.
It is. It's a gorgeous game.
Ethan bought it first, and I saw him play it. Me and Hunter saw him play it, and it looked so good. And then I think Jesse bought it, and then you bought it?
No, I bought it before Jesse.
You bought it
before
Jesse?
Because
okay.
Jesse and I still want to stream it, because it is...
I want to see you stream it.
It's fun to play, like, and I feel like I could be entertaining playing it, but now it's at a point where, like, it's been out for a while, everybody streams it, everybody has a Let's Play up of it, but...
Yeah, but it's, if you have the personality, that's the big thing, to have the personality to push it.
But no, so yeah, because it came out, and I'd been watching videos on it and seeing people play and talk about how insanely difficult it is. And my whole thing was like, I really want to play it because I love the sound, I love the look of it, it looks great, but I'm not patient enough. Like, I'm going to get mad at it, because I am very much a person that if I try something new and I'm not immediately at least okay at it, I don't have any interest in it.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've tried to learn how to play an instrument, or I've started to like try to learn how to play an instrument, and I have stupid hands.
Like so me and like, the guitar.
So I'm like, oh, yeah. Nope, never mind. This is not for
Sorry,
me.
Curb.
But eventually, it was too pretty. It looked like too much fun. I'm watching some of the early bosses. I'm like, yeah, I feel like I could do that. Like, I feel like that's doable. So I broke down. I bought it, and I was wrong and right, because that stupid flower almost broke my spirit. Billy didn't leave my side, though. He stayed.
Billy helped you through it?
He helped me through my trying time.
We're talking about Billy Hills or Billy Wolford?
Billy Wolford.
Okay.
King of the Peanuts. We, cause it was after TLC, maybe. And I just was like, I want to keep trying. Cause I'm getting so close. Because the thing Cuphead does is after you die, it has this line and it moves your character close and close to the finish point. And so you see, like, how much progress you made.
Yep.
Which is encouraging and
evil.
Because there, how many times am I touching the flag? Like, I was right there. I'm getting worked up again. I'm not even playing. It's like, I know I can do this. I know I can do this. And so it got to the point where everybody had left except for me and Billy. And I'm just like, okay, this is the last one. Either I beat it or I'm going home. Like, that's what's happening. And I got it. I was like, oh, yes. I'm so excited. And it's so rewarding. Like, knowing, like, okay, this is what I'm doing wrong, because it's also very fair.
Yeah, it's like Dark Souls.
Yeah, like, you know, okay, I died, but it is my fault.
Right.
There's only been a couple times with, like, randomly generated platforms on a couple of the bosses that are some BS, there's nothing you could do.
We're not talking about, like, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, where it's like, this isn't fair.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm currently at a point, and if I stream it, it's going to be really boring to see, because it's just going to be see the same, like, minute and a half of me getting absolutely destroyed by this stupid Dr. Eggman knockoff pilot in a B-grade Iron Giant, and it's so infuriating.
That's the part you're on now?
Because you have to destroy three parts of the robot, and then his heart comes out, and you have to kill the heart, and that's when the next transition happens. But if you don't even get to, like, the heart and you die, which I do a lot because it's one of the plane shooters, it doesn't move your thing at all. Like, you've made no progress. And I thought the game was glitched until I got past that part. And I was like, oh, no, I'm just doing very poorly. And this is the first point in the game where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this.
I also want to point out to people listening that maybe are unfamiliar with Cuphead that you can't describe it in any way. You really have to go watch it, because it's all hand-drawn. It looks like an old 20s cartoon.
It's apparently the term is rubber hose cartoon.
Yeah, like that old Mickey Mouse
where
they're
bouncing up and down, that episode of Futurama where he gets diamond. Yeah.
But even when you're dying, it's gorgeous.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful game. You kind of start to lose appreciation for how pretty the game is through your rage. But like, for people watching,
wouldn't. That's because I'm an art major, and I'd just be like, they put so much work into
they
this.
They did. Like, the
they
amount
did
of
did so much.
Breaking down each frame of like all of the bosses, and that was all hand drawn, is insane.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful game. Yeah, set, like, it's a 1920s style cartoon, including, like, the VHS lines.
Yeah.
Or, like, at that point it would be projector lines. The soundtrack is kind of scratchy, but it's also super, like, barbershop quartet. But the story's about the devil, and it's, like.
I really do think, I'm gonna say this, I think Cuphead goes down as one of the most, I don't want to say, I don't know, influential, but I think it's going to go down as one of the most important games of all time.
I don't know about
from an artistic value.
I'll give you that. I don't know if people will be in a rush to like try to recreate it because it is so special, and this is clearly a passion project. Like, so I know Jesse doesn't usually do them a lot of the time, but like if we end up doing like a game of the year thing, there's a chance Cuphead ends up being my game of the year.
I think you guys should absolutely do that.
Yeah. And I mean like
for Nerd Up.
But I mean like Horizon Zero Dawn came out this year and I love that game.
Mario Odyssey.
Zelda. That's the other thing that I've been playing because I still can't unpack my like and when I play Cuphead, I have to play it here.
Right.
Because I still don't have my TV hooked up yet.
Right.
But when I'm at home, I can actually play Mario. And I've been playing a lot of Odyssey. And I like it a lot.
It's
like,
grown on me more.
It's grown on me too. I thought I was much farther in the game than I was. Mm-hmm. So I just got to the food world.
Luncheon. That's where I'm at.
The Luncheon Kingdom.
Yeah.
And that game is so much fun. And
I'm really
pretty.
Starting to see the artistic value of it. Cause my first thought was this isn't the Mario I'm used to. Therefore, I don't like it. It's not a side scroller.
Because they can't keep making the same game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like it's like I can't chastise them for trying something new because that's what they did with Mario 64. That's what they're doing now is they're like, we're not just going to push out Mario, new Super Mario Brothers 3D again. Mm-hmm. Here's an entirely new thing. And once I realized that, I was like, okay, I like this more now.
See, and like, I kind of disagree with that because like, I don't think Odyssey is as revolutionary as a lot of people are making it out to be.
Really?
It's another 3D Mario with a hat mechanic. And the hat mechanic works well for the most part. Some of the possession stuff is a little wonky.
Yeah.
But
the game's very polished.
It's
3D platformer wise, you can't beat Mario.
And it's that thing where like on Nerd Up, I gave it to like buy it at full price, like buy it day one because it is a great, it's executed well. It controls super well for the most part. There are slight little instances of frustration.
The parts where you die due to bad cameras are few and far between.
Right.
Yeah.
But they are still there.
Right.
And it's just a personal preference thing though, because like you, I like 2D Mario.
I do.
I like side scroller Mario.
Yeah.
And honestly, one of my favorite Mario games to come out recently on top of, I think Galaxy 2 is probably my all time favorite game, but, New 3D World for the Wii U was amazing. But I loved that setup where it was, okay, it is a 3D environment, but it's a contained linear level.
Yeah.
And I love that. I'm not as big of a fan of the open world, explore every nook and cranny. I'm having a blast doing it.
Yeah.
But if given the choice, I would rather do just move from left to right or.
How picky I am as a Mario fan can completely be tied back to Mario on Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, the first time I booted up the snow world and it was like a desert level, I was like, I'm done. That makes no sense. I'm in the snow world. Why is this a desert level? This one makes sense because every world you go to, that's the world. Like what you see.
But they do that on Odyssey.
They do.
You go to
there's the desert that's frozen.
You go to the desert that's all frozen over.
But at least they explained it. I don't know why. Yeah. It's a little thing. It's in my head.
The desert gets really cold at night.
It does. That's why I want to live there. You freeze at night and you burn in the day.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun. By the way, big ups to the Switch for just being a good system.
Oh yeah, no, like a couple weeks ago on Nerd Up, I just flat out said like, oh no, I'm okay. I'm perfectly okay with admitting I'm wrong.
And they're getting such good games. Beside Mario Odyssey and Zelda being like system sellers on their own, Doom is coming out for it, which looks really good. All the reviews have been good so far. And if you already have Doom on the other systems, you really don't need to get it on Switch.
Right.
But again, it's when you consider the fact that you can play it anywhere you go, that automatically goes, oh, that is really cool. Same thing with Skyrim. It's like, oh, you have Skyrim. It's a 6-year-old game at this point, but can you play it at a bus stop? And then you go, shit, no, I can't.
See, but Skyrim's one of those, like, and I didn't play Doom, so correct me if I'm wrong, but like, Skyrim is definitely one of those, I was never at a point where I wanted to play Skyrim for 10 minutes at a time. Skyrim is a time commitment for me.
It
is. If I'm playing Skyrim, I'm playing Skyrim.
Yeah, you gotta sit down and really enjoy it.
And so, I feel like some of that appeal is lost on me, but again, I'm also the person who doesn't take his Switch with him anywhere.
That's true.
Because one, I drive myself to work every day, I don't have a long commute, I don't have a bus ride or a train ride or anything. If I took a flight somewhere, I could see myself bringing it, but it would also never leave my side because we talked about it before. I was always the kid like, okay, yeah, you can have this thing, but if it's gone, it's gone. So I've always taken like pride in how I treat my possessions.
Obsessive care.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I am with my girlfriend. I don't want her to get out of my sight too far because...
Because who knows what happened?
Who knows who's better than me? Everybody. If you're not getting this, somebody else is. That's from Tales from the Crypt.
It?
Damn it.
So going all the way back to your photography thing, is this like...
Hey, welcome back.
For your class, is this like an editing thing or is it just strictly like...
It's both.
Okay.
It's basically the really cool thing about art pro... I'm assuming a lot of art programs, but I know how CMOS works, is they're not building painters or digital artists or any of this. They're trying to build artists in a sense that... You have to have a basic knowledge on almost all forms of art that are in this world. I don't have to take music classes or dance classes like that, but like this specific form of art. And most of the times whenever you're in those classrooms, all the professors kind of view your class that way too. So like in my painting class, I don't just paint. I can build things. I can do all sorts of things that I want. And in my digital class, it's not just learning how to use the programs or learning about composition and stuff. It's all goes into the projects and the fact, and it's all a factor in how they teach the class. And so you kind of get a really rounded education on all of it.
So do you like that or do you kind of wish that?
I love it.
Okay.
Because, you can take classes through the Polytech, which is much more like tutorial based. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of boring to me because I'm more interested in like the concepts behind things and the how you set something up, where you got your ideas, which isn't found much in tutorials because you're just doing something that someone told you to. And whenever you are able to come up with concepts and you take time to actually think about why someone else did something in their project and why you did something in your project, you become a much better artist.
All right.
And because art isn't just making something, it's the feeling of something. It's the conversation you're wanting to get out of someone. It's the ideas you're wanting people to start from your work.
Right.
And you get a lot more of that through.
I painted something once.
I was going to say, I was like, I wish I was artistic even a little bit.
The painting I did was for my father, and it was a painting of Daffy Duck with a Steelers jersey, and he was doing the Four Horsemen sign. The painting made no sense. What conversation was I trying to start, Allie?
I mean, if it was for your father, did he like all of those things?
He said he did, but he was a damn liar. Because okay. He probably didn't understand a single thing about it. What's the four? Why is he wearing a Steelers jersey? Why is it Daffy Duck?
I mean, if it was like, if he actually liked all those things and you made it specifically for that person.
No, I liked those things.
Then you made it for you.
But it was for him.
But you wanted him to understand you more.
No.
Oh.
I was in like sixth grade, so I just thought Daffy Duck was cool. And if he was a member of the Four Horsemen, I mean, that would be great.
He would also be a Steelers.
He was cool.
Who
and
would,
is cool.
Who or it, if the Looney Tunes had a Four Horsemen stable and Daffy Duck was in it, who would be the other three members of the Horsemen? Clearly Bugs Bunny. He's a given. But who would the other two members of the Looney Tunes Horsemen be?
If it's the Looney Tune Horsemen?
Yeah. That we got Daffy and Bugs, clearly.
I mean, that's your one, too, right there.
Yeah.
That's really
everyone,
all you need.
Everyone else is kind of... Porky Pig.
You think Porky would be in it?
Yeah, Porky has to be in there. And then...
I think Foghorn Leghorn as the big bruiser.
I mean, if it...
Is he not horseman material?
I don't see him.
A good promo.
I want to... Well, when he's not stuttering.
Oh, that's just damn preposterous.
He's going on Matt Morgan.
Wait, Foghorn Leghorn doesn't stutter?
I mean, I say that, but I said Porky Pig.
I was like, Porky Pig stutters.
Well, no, stutter's the wrong word, but he does the...
I say.
Yeah, the stalling.
The southern draw.
Yeah.
Allie, what about you? You got to pick another member of the Horsemen. We got Porky.
So I wasn't going for who would be a horseman. I was going with just like who the... It's like the Mount Rushmore of...
Who the most important people in there
yeah,
was?
Yeah, for Looney Tunes.
Well, then the fourth one would probably, if it was that way, would have to be... Sylvester, maybe?
Well, because no. You have like Sylvester and Tweety.
Tweety.
You have the.
It'd be Tweety. Taz.
Taz, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote, Granny Smith.
Was her name Granny Smith?
I thought so.
I didn't know that. I just knew her as Granny.
I might just be thinking of the apple.
That's the sad. That's one of the saddest stories I can tell. I don't want to tell that story.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell it.
Oh, jeez.
So after my mom passed away, there was a time where I was really sensitive to anything family related. And Lindsay and I went to, what the hell is it called? CC's Pizza. And we're eating pizza. And I look up on the screen and they're playing, Baby Looney Tunes. And they're all like telling grandma how much they love them. And she's like, I love you. And they're all hugging. And I got so upset that I had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, if it makes you feel any better, I am totally wrong. Granny's name is Emma Webster. So I am absolutely thinking of the apple.
It's a good apple. It's not my favorite. Gala apples are my favorite.
Who's your four Gala. Horsemen apples?
Gala, Fiji, Granny Smith, and I can't think of any other apples.
If you're not going to say Golden Delicious, we can't be friends anymore.
We'll put Golden Delicious on there. The the basic red can suck a egg. They can suck an egg. Allie, who would be your four horsemen of soft drinks?
Of soft drinks?
Yeah.
Pepsi.
Yeah, that's all you need. Pepsi's the Ric Flair of soft drinks.
Oh, his 30 for 30 is
tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the show, too.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be a loaded Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, who is your four horsemen for the Pro Wrestling Unscripted of the hosts? This is an easy one.
I know the four of them.
Because there's four of them. Who would you say is the Ric Flair of the group?
You.
Yeah. Asa would have to be Arn Anderson.
I'm fine with that.
Because you're my right-hand man, and you're my enforcer. Dalton would easily be Mongo McMichael.
How much does that guy weigh?
Art Donovan. No, Dalton would be, who's one of the terrible horsemen? Other than Mongo McMichael. And you're a woman.
I don't remember that one.
wasn't she in the horsemen? She was with Flair for a while. Do you remember Woman?
No.
Woman, it was Chris Benoit's wife. Her name, I'm not being sexist. Her name was Woman.
I just don't remember. No, I don't remember her being a part of the Horsemen.
Well, I think she was with Flair. I don't know if she was with the Horsemen, but I know she at least was with Flair at one point. Or Benoit. She was with Benoit because they were married, and I think that was a thing. But she used to be married to Dave Sullivan. You want to hear one of the worst conspiracy theories that they ever came up with?
Was that Benoit didn't kill his family. It was Kevin Sullivan in revenge and made it look like.
People are terrible.
People are stupid.
People are just the god-awful worst. That's why I like to live in the world of Cuphead and Tales from the Crypt, where one thing I loved about Tales from the Crypt is that the bad guy always gets his comeuppance in the end. Like, there's never an episode where the bad guy gets away with it.
Spoiler alert.
It's something I look forward to. Because when I watch, like, Law and Order, there's always a 50-50 chance that they're going to lose.
Yeah.
And that some asshole's going to walk on, like, some technicality. And I would get actually upset about those things.
I just saw a thing on Facebook. Someone was like, oh, I remember these lines. And it's, like, Ice-T just saying progressively and progressively weirder stuff.
I saw that.
But it starts, like, normal. They're snorting a mix of cat litter and cocaine. they call it dirty carpet or something like that.
Dirty carpet.
But then it ends with, like, the kid got paid to have nickels thrown at him while they played video games. Like, it's just so weird. And it's like, wait, at what point does this not...
not real?
Because you can always hear him saying these things.
Yeah.
Like, his voice just works like that.
He's got a very Ice-T voice. 7 minutes left on the show. What have you been watching lately?
I wonder. No, I just finished American Vandal
last
night.
I was setting you up.
Yeah. I loved it. We talked about it a little bit on Nerd Up this past Sunday too, but it's the Netflix original series, and it is one of my favorite things Netflix has done. I still think the Marvel stuff I've enjoyed more, but it probably is my favorite thing. Like, cause don't get me wrong, like, Stranger Things is great, and I loved the first season. And I'm kind of working my way through the second season now. Now that I'm finished with American Vandal, I'll be able to spend a little bit more time with it. But the way that it hit seemingly everyone it didn't hit me that way. Like, I loved it, thought it was great. I had my problems with it, like, at the beginning and then a couple of things at the end. But overall, it was really well done. But American Vandal is, like, it got me. If you are a fan, if you've listened to Serial, or have seen The Making a Murderer or The Jinx or shows like that, I think you'll enjoy American Vandal because it's a parody of those. And it's super well done. It's crazy well acted. And just the level of detail that they are able, because it is scripted, the level of detail they're able to put into each episode of stuff that you'll then go back and be like, oh yeah. Like, there's a thing. So I finished it, and without giving anything away, I noticed a thing in they show these pictures, and I noticed something. I was like, that's off. That's different. That's not the way that they said it was. But they never address it because the documentarians never noticed it. And so that just kind of goes unanswered. And so I was like, wait, am I wrong? So then I Googled it and I was like, and it's like, no, I was right. Other people have noticed this too. And talking to certain people about it, they're like, oh, I never picked up on that. That does help this theory. And it's just because it is a very much a thing where you want to know who, for those who don't know, it is instead of a murder that took place or some kind of like graphic crime, it takes place in a high school in California where someone spray painted 27 penises on faculty vehicles.
Oh my God, that? It's my painting professor.
What?
No, like that sounds like something he would do considering on Monday he's showing us how to make a frame and I look over and he drew a dick on his coffee cup. And we're like, seriously, he's like, it's a cat. It's not.
We were saying penis.
Maybe you just see what you wanted to see, Allie.
Oh, Allie. If you're not getting someone else's.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, so the teachers had their cars vandalized with these 27
dicks.
Penises.
You say
yeah.
Dicks now, she did it.
And so they immediately accuse this one kid who's a troublemaker and he's a notorious dick drawer.
He's a habitual dick drawer.
Yeah, he's a habitual dick drawer.
Oh, I'm gonna go and blast him. I'll be like, you are the American Panther.
Just call him Dylan. Just be like, hey, Dylan Maxwell. And so they immediately assume it's him. They have this like in school hearing. This is all covered in the first episode, and he gets expelled. And then it turns out he's gonna be like criminally charged and liable for
the damages,
all of these damages
to
the car. But then there are certain things that don't add up. So this AV club, the kid who is in the AV club starts making this doc, and he also like makes other movies and has done other movies, but he starts making this documentary trying to figure out what really happened. But it's such a it is a complete parody of these other shows. Like, this changes everything. Like, every episode ends on some sort of like ridiculously insane cliffhanger.
Dalton was really excited about this show too.
Dalton watched it all in one night. Like, he loved it as much as I did.
We saw the trailer for it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we saw the trailer. I just remember seeing the picture. Well,
yeah, it was when you scroll over Netflix shows and it automatically plays like a trailer. Because I remember seeing dicks on the like,
I remember
doors,
seeing that on
and I remember
the
thinking
cars.
Like, what show is this?
And so here's the thing: it's definitely funny, but it's not a comedy. Like, it's not written jokey. Like, there's no beats for laughs. Like, it's just kind of...
It is what it is.
It's just, it's absurd and it's funny. But right. And there are certain lines that legitimately made me laugh out loud. But it's played so... They do it so straightforward and so straight-faced. Like, it takes itself so... These kids are taking themselves so seriously doing it. And I loved it.
That's what I love about.
But I'm also very much a true crime fan. And like, so this, that, you know, 80s nostalgia thing that Stranger Things that everyone like really loved about that. I don't necessarily have as much of that as everybody else, but this is my kind of like, this hit me just right. So, and like Jesse finished it. Jesse really, really liked it. He didn't like it as much as I did, but I don't think many people are going to.
Right. It's when you said that about, Well, you just said something about that they take it so seriously.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is that to them, like to us, everything they do is so ridiculous and so minor. Like, it's such a minor thing. But to them, it's like the end of the world every time. And they believably so that it's like the most important thing that could ever happen. Mm-hmm. That's part of the charm. That's what I love about that. So I think AV is going to go on my list. I think I'm going to check that out.
Yeah,
check it out.
That.
It's only 8 episodes. Each episode's only 30 minutes too, so that kind of helps.
Because I couldn't get through 13 Reasons. What was it called?
13 Reasons Why.
I couldn't get through that.
I wouldn't recommend that show.
We said that before too. Like, me and Jesse especially, we're like, and I will say it was a great show. Mm-hmm. It was really good. And I don't have a history of like, I don't have any PTSD. I don't have anything like that. But even I found it very difficult to watch. It was very difficult to watch, even for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go through anything that they were talking about.
Yeah.
So for someone that has gone through that, absolutely. We've also been watching Ghosted. I don't know if you've checked that show out or have heard of it.
I have not.
Adam Scott and Craig Robinson on Fox. They're like, it's like a New Age X-Files kind of.
Yeah.
Where they're investigating the paranormal.
But is it a comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, I hear that and I assume so, but I mean, you never know anymore. Like,
that's true.
Freaking James Franco just made that The Disaster Artist.
Based on Tommy Wiseau.
Mm-hmm.
The Room. You know, You're Tearing Me Apart, Lisa, that guy.
Oh, hi, Mark.
He made a movie about that movie.
I did not hurt her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Anyway, how is your sex life?
The only other thing that I've really been watching regularly is The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
She's so cute.
I love that show. I have not watched it.
I don't care. She's cute.
No, yeah, Ella Kemper is amazing.
When you don't watch Netflix for a while, mm-hmm. it goes into like the moving wallpapers.
Right.
Every time I see her, I go, oh, she's so adorable. And I was like, you don't even watch the show.
You should watch the show. It's really good.
Show.
I'm in the third season, I think.
Yeah, there's three.
Because I have it, because I'm super behind on it. I really like it. They had one moment where it made me kind of, like, I laughed. Because, so it's the episode where she makes Titus take her to church. And so she's talking about, she's like, we're going to go do a clothing drive. We're going to clothe the poor. And Titus responds with, girl, that's what Old Navy's for. And I laughed because that's a hilarious joke. That's so well written. Titus is amazing.
Is that the African American guy?
Yeah. Yes. Titus Andromedon.
yeah.
yeah. And his delivery is perfect. And so I'm so laughing. Great. I'm enjoying. I glance down these are my Old Navy pants. Now I'm sad.
I watched that. So whenever I got my cat spayed, and I would just kind of sit in the bathroom with her because she was so sad. She would just sit in the sink and like stare at me with the cone around
How
her
could
head.
You?
That's true.
And she would like lick the cone. I'm like, that's not the right time. It's not an ice cream cone, sweetie. I would just sit there and watch. She would like lick the cone.
Yeah, I get it. It's fine.
You're so mad about it.
But I would just watch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt while I'd sit there with my cat on the bathroom floor. And it made me happy.
I've gotten to the point that up until recently, because I fall asleep at midnight now because I take so much medicine mm-hmm. to try to get better. But I used to stay up till like 2 a.m. and I've gotten in the habit of just laying in bed and watching stuff on my phone with earphones in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watch like CNN. I just watch CNN for 2 hours straight.
Here in like 2 weeks,
and MSNBC. And I think, what has my life become?
Here in like 2 weeks, you'll have Punisher to watch.
I don't know if I'm excited about that series.
Unless they don't push it back because there's another mass shooting.
Shit. Possibly. I said I wasn't going to talk about anything like this. But did you know that 2 of the 5 worst mass shootings in history have happened in the past 35 days?
I did.
Okay, that's the end of the show. We're actually out of time. We got to get out of here before we get serious. All right.
Go watch American Vandal.
Yes, watch American Vandal. Watch Tales from the Crypt. So I have someone to talk to about it. Because I'm every day. Oh, she. But every time we watch it, she falls asleep during it.
You fell asleep too.
You already spoiled the ending. Bad guy loses.
Yeah.
But it's how they lose. It's the gory details. All right. Stay tuned for tomorrow because we're going to have Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's a big show. A lot of stuff to talk about. It's going to be a fun show. No yelling, Dalton. You're safe.
We'll
see how you feel about certain things.
We'll see if you badmouth Kane.
Asa and I will be off next week because next week it will be Nerds for Hire. Yes.
So Asa will not be off for that. So
Shannon will be off. But Asa and Shannon together will be off.
Allie and Shannon.
She might show up. She just kind of shows up on shows. We will be starting Pokemon Month this Thursday, short of us getting sick again. And we're going to be talking about the Pokemon movie, I Choose You, which Lindsay and I went to see on Sunday in our theater experience. We're also going to talk about Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon 2.
Yes,
I think it's just called, right?
No, it's just Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
Okay.
Because it was Sun and Moon.
Oh, it was Sun and Moon. Yeah, okay.
We were going to talk about that on Sunday, but then we ended up talking about the MCU for like 30 minutes.
That's what Lindsay said.
Of the show.
All right, so that stuff is then. Until then, again, thank you guys for listening. We want you to head over to patreon.com/podzilla1985 and donate because it keeps us going and we love you for it. We also want you to go to facebook.com/podzilla1985 and talk to us and podzilla1985.com to catch up on the old episodes. So yes. That's it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow for PWU. We are out.